It's The Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Joshua Briscoe and Beards McFly with you. Jason Anderson out today. I expect to have him back tomorrow. Chris Jones is with a Bobcat, James Palmer, and on NFL Network. Is that Mariucci holding the Bobcat? I'm not sure what's going on there. Apparently there's a small Bobcat in St. Joe. I don't know how many are in St. Joe. There's at least one. We gave away a handful of tickets, three pairs, in fact. We'll have more to give away today as we go, so don't give up just yet if you're trying to get to the 810 WHB 100-year anniversary party on Thursday. We will continue giving away tickets to that over the course of The Zone here today. And the program will give away tickets as well, so chances all day long here on 810. But the answers we would have accepted for players to wear number 10 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Beards, can you tell me who our winning guesses were? Because it was not the first one I would have picked.
I had two different people guess Pete Stoyanovich. And then one other person guessed Mike Livingston.
Those are both correct. I can go old to new here. Jimmy Saxton for 1 year, Pete Beathard for a few, Livingston, Frank Surer, Mike Elkins. That was a 1 year stint. Kent Sullivan, 1992, 1 year stint. Stoyanovich, as you mentioned, Trent Green, not eligible. Trent Green, Isaiah Pacheco, Tyreek Hill are why we were asking the question. Marquise Higgins in 2008, Terrence Copper. For 3 years, 09 through 2012, would have been acceptable. I thought for sure we would get a Chase Daniel answer, as he was the last quarterback to wear number 10 after Trent Green. The only quarterback with the Chiefs to wear number 10 after Trent Green before Tyreek Hill took that over in 2016. And so now Isaiah Pacheco is wearing number 10. We'll give some more tickets away, as I said. We'll talk some Royals here in about 45 minutes. Craig Brown of Into the Fountains will join us. And I think we will just have a pretty feel-good conversation about the Royals. I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to rush it. But we'll get there at noon. And I have some thoughts based off yesterday's game that we'll get into even after Craig. So maybe we'll get you just, I don't know, a mainline hour of Royals talk. We're going to predominantly be building Chiefs around the day, though. Saturday, the first preseason game of the year in Chicago against the Bears, and some interesting storylines and some legitimate things to learn. Some mentioned by Andy Reid just earlier here last hour at the press conferences. Also, by the way, a little PSA on a couple of fronts. Some things near and dear to my heart. I want to make sure that listeners of The Zone, if you're just driving around right now, however you found us, thanks for being here. But did you know there are lots of other ways you can get involved with the show? There's a text.
Really?
There, Beards. There are so many ways you can get involved with the show.
You mean like besides just radio?
There, you know, you're. I hope
but
you're.
This is a radio station, Josh.
Beards, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
You know how you could prove that?
How?
By showing the people you in your chair. You can watch the show live on the Sports Radio 810 WHB Twitter, Facebook, Twitch, and YouTube. Twitch has been my favorite place, at least, for interactions, and you can interact with each other during the show. You can get to me and Beards, even whenever, you know, when Jason's here, we don't make Jason man all the computers, so, you know, you can appeal to the sensibilities of me and Beards through the Twitch, the Facebook, and the YouTube. You also have the text line, which I have open today. This is usually what Jason looks at, but you can text the show as well, 913-912-4810. And you can listen to the show on the 810 WHB mobile app, 810WHB.com, and wherever you get your podcasts. That was actually where I was going to start with all of this, is to say if you missed any of the pressers, anything from the first hour, our opening conversation, anything ever, if you go, I want to hear Ryan Tracy of RGR Football and Locked On Chiefs when he joins the show at 1, but I can't. I won't be in my car. I won't be by a radio. Hey, man, don't sweat it. That's what podcasts are for. So you can subscribe. Just search for The Zone wherever you get your podcasts. You'll see the art. You'll see it's us. And we'll have all that up at the end of the show today as well. If you missed any of it, we podcast every single hour, every segment of the show in hour-long chunks up on the podcast page. And you can make The Zone everlasting if you'd like that. If that idea scares you, you can just keep listening. You can keep listening in a way that you don't have to, you know, download and carry in your pocket forever. We got the radio still, but lots of different ways you can watch the show, listen to the show, interact, and get in touch. Also, we're giving away tickets through the other various mediums as well. I've given away some tickets in the text line, giving away some tickets on the video streams, calling in. So just lots of different ways to get in touch with us here in the zone. Touch us, the zone. The zone, touch us. Get in touch with us, the zone. Get in touch with the zone, with our zone. You're in the zone, the touch zone.
Jason Anderson's zone?
Hi. I'm Jason Anderson's zone. That one's sort of like a Fight Club thing. Another movie I've seen. Take that, Jason.
Thank God.
If you were here, you'd be so proud of me. Just kidding. He wouldn't be. He would be not mad at me for having seen Fight Club. I've seen Fight Club multiple times. Oh, that's a good... I enjoyed the film. Beards, how old were you when you realized that the angel face was Jared Leto?
Like, probably 2 or 3 years ago.
It was recent, though,
yes,
right?
It was recent.
I had the same experience, right? I saw Fight Club pre-knowing who Jared Leto was, and then again after the fact, and went, holy bleep, that's Jared Leto. That was sort of the end of my discovery, but in case anybody's wandering around, someone just learned, right now, someone just learned that Jared Leto is in Fight Club, and he is the beautiful that is destroyed. Spoiler alert. Then that movie's been out for longer than I have, just in the world, right? That's probably... When did Fight Club come out?
I think it was like 99 or something like that.
You're right, 99. All right, so Fight Club is...
Almost as old as you.
Almost as old as I am. Speaking of movies with Brad Pitt in them, and also 810 events that we gave tickets out to our beloved Dexters. Bullet Train. I'm going to get to some press conference stuff. We're just here. We're on Brad Pitt Movies by Accident, and I want to deliver our Bullet Train reviews. Beards, you can go first, because the longer I have thought about it, the more extreme my take has gotten.
Oh, boy.
Which I think is just what happens sometimes. You watch something, and you think you have your opinion, and then you just sort of sit with it for a while, and it just gets more and more and more ramped up for no particular reason. Then all of a sudden, you're on First Take saying that, you know, that I could have dusted Bob Cousy. And eventually, like, oh, this one got away from me. I think my Bullet Train take may have gotten away from me, but I want to get yours first so I can top it.
It was an enjoyable, fun movie. It was a really cool setting. Train movies are always pretty good. I enjoyed the cast that was in it. It had some good action scenes. I'm trying to think. There was a lot of good cameos that just kind of kept popping up, and you're like, oh, that person's in it. Oh, that person's in it.
Do you know what it has on Rotten Tomatoes? From critics?
I think so. Isn't it in kind of like the 50s range?
54%.
Yeah. It was better than that. It was a good time.
I am baffled by 54%. My review of Bullet Train is that it is what you would get if Wes Anderson, director of films very important to my general being, like Fantastic Mr. Fox and Isle of Dogs and Darjeeling Limited and Grand Budapest Hotel and Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou and Moonrise Kingdom and lots of other ones that I'm sure someone just realized I didn't mention their favorite Wes Anderson movie, Bottle Rocket, Rushmore. I think I probably missed one in there somewhere. Royal Tenenbaums. Is that all of them?
I think the only one I've seen is Rushmore.
They're all great. I love Wes Anderson movies. This should surprise no one who knows me. But Bullet Train is what you would get if Wes Anderson just did a Scarface pile of blow, watched Murder on the Orient Express on one screen and Deadpool on the other screen, just watched them both simultaneously, and then just went on a liquid diet of sugar-free Red Bull for the duration of production. That is what would have birthed Bullet Train. And I mean every syllable of that as a compliment. Because I like every single thing I mentioned in that tweet. Except for the cocaine. TBD. It is a trip, man. Bullet Train is a trip. If this is a thing that I find out that I like that is critically panned in the movie world, I'm willing for this to be the one. Like, I thought that this would be aesthetically artsy and interesting enough for, like, movie snobs to still really enjoy it. And it is a... It is pretty hard R. There are some There are some grisly scenes. And by grisly scenes, I mean the duration of the movie, pretty much. But I thought the casting was great. I thought the characters, for not getting a ton of time to get fleshed out, were really good. You had opinions on all the characters, like, immediately. I thought Sterling Holmes was great in the role that he was apparently cast in. That joke was just for beards, unless you know what Sterling looks like and have seen Bullet Train. And if you know what Sterling looks like and have seen Bullet Train, that joke killed.
That's a small group.
But it includes me and beards. I went in having seen the trailer, which got my expectations up, having seen a couple of very downer headlines, which sort of tanked my expectations. And then as the movie went on, within the first like 5 or 10 minutes, the counting scene very early on, where there's a disagreement on a certain number.
Yes.
And they go through and count. At that moment, I was like, hey, this isn't what I expected it to be. I love a train murder movie. Again, like Murder on the Orient Express, sort of a little mystery to it. They're kind of unpacking it as they went. I really liked it. And I think I'm alone on an island, at least in terms of, like, people who can kind of be movie snobs sometimes. I thought it kind of ruled. I'm a big fan.
It was fun.
I'm not going to make Renee go to a theater to watch it again. But whenever it's out on streaming, I absolutely would watch it a second time. And just to gauge, I think, if Renee actually does want to stick through the whole thing. Also, I recently, this is so specific, you have to have seen the movie for this to matter to you. I recently bought a bucket hat that looks very similar to the one that Brad Pitt wears throughout the movie. And I'm really just pointing this out so you know that whenever you see me out here just rocking this bucket hat, maybe that's going to be the
That'll
top
be
of my
Thursday.
my 100-year outfit. It's going to be, I'm going to be dressed to the nines with a nice, like, kind of washed out pink bucket hat and some big glasses. If you put me on a train, you're going to want to get away. There's action's about to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. There's about to be some action. The intricacies of what Brad Pitt's character is. I don't know, man. I thought that movie, I thought Bullet Train was really, was fun and smart and aesthetically really beautiful. Interesting. Visually engaging. Kind of makes me sad that more people don't like it. I'm a fan. This is longer than a Shot Clock review, Beards. What would you give it out of 10? I'm in like 7.5 to 8 territory. I'm enjoying it. The farther I get away from it, the more I realize I'm just upping my numbers. I'm giving it a 9.7.
I go by 7.
It's definitely at least 7. I think that's totally fair.
It's a fun time.
It really is.
Go see it.
Anyway, we have a bunch of Chiefs audio. I don't remember exactly how we got to Fight Club and Brad Pitt, but we Beards and I both were gonna, like, we had our Bullet Train reviews, you know, locked and loaded in the chamber for Friday. We didn't get to it, so there you go. You had a weekend to see it without knowing what we thought. Now you know. I'm in favor of the film. I think people should go see it. Let's take an early break here because I have a lot more Chiefs stuff that I want. Beards just looked over at the screen and went, wow, okay. It's a 2-segment hour. I don't see us getting this one back on track. Pun absolutely intended on this particular runaway train that was this segment. Easy for me to say. So I think what we do is we just let this train keep going to the station. We let this one chug-a-chug right away. We, you know, don't be a diesel, Beards. Let this train go, and we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some more things that I thought were interesting out of St. Joe, some press conference tidbits, plus some stuff from the weekend that you may have missed from Eric Bieniemy and Juan Thornhill. Both of them gave some intriguing nuggets. Plus, I want to talk about the running back position, and Eric Bieniemy will help me do that. What, Beards?
I think you're a Percy. I was trying to remember trying to go back to my childhood and remember some names there. I think I got one.
You have to watch Bullet Train to understand exactly how Beards is making me recontemplate my entire life over the course of this break.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You're dumb, but you're not stupid.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Rolling on with The Zone here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Joshua Briscoe in the big chair today. Jason Anderson is out. Beards McFly still here on the other side of the glass, though. First, Beards, quick housekeeping. You need to issue a correction on something.
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
So I called you a Percy last segment. You're actually more of a Gordon. A proud, pompous, arrogant, stubborn, prideful, and self-important train engine.
Well, that is pretty hurtful, and I'm going to try not to take it super personally. and just keep chugging along. Because I've also, you know, some sources say that Gordon is good-hearted and willing to forgive and use his superior strength to help out smaller engines in trouble. I think it's really all about your perspective. I think you're being kind of a diesel right now. All right, several things. Don't worry about it. You can listen to the podcast if that makes no sense because you joined during a commercial break. I get it. Just had to issue a quick correction. Don't worry about it. Let's go back to what we were learning a little bit earlier today as the Chiefs continue training camp in St. Joe. Today we heard from Andy Reid, Chris Jones, Creed Humphrey, and Josh Gordon. To work kind of backwards here, I was surprised to see Josh Gordon on the list for the podium today because it just doesn't seem like he's been trending in the right direction purely vis-a-vis roster spots. There have been some reports of him having some drops, not being particularly standout-ish in this group of wide receivers. He's even talked there about Corey Coleman, his relationship with him, presumably dating back to Cleveland, and the back and forth that they have. Even that, I thought, was actually genuinely pretty insightful because there's so much stuff that the NFL does a really good job of sanitizing what we know about the sport. And I don't just mean like hiding roster moves or trying to keep players out of trouble or any kind of the things you might expect when I say the word sanitizing. But there's just a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we don't see, therefore we don't really think about. One example of this, I saw somebody who was at camp tweeted out a picture of Steve Spagnuolo off to the side working with one of the corners. I think it was Joshua Williams. But it reminded me of a story from the first practice I went to after the Chiefs had hired Spagnuolo. Mini camp, fenced off it at Arrowhead. And, you know, we were off over on one side and they were working on the far side. And there was a corner who I think was Legarius Sneed, if the timing on all that works out. There's a corner working off to the side with somebody, and presumably it was Sneed. I was looking over trying to figure out what's going on over there. Is there an injury? No, he looks like he's working one-on-one with somebody. Is he working with a DB's coach? Who's he working with? Oh, that's just him and Steve Spagnuolo over there, and Spags is doing, you know, the footwork and trying to teaching some element that he wanted to, you know, impose that wisdom on, again, I think, Sneed. Somebody tweeted out a picture of the same thing with Spags and Joshua Williams this camp, and it reminded me of, like, hey, if you're going to St. Joe, there's a lot that you can keep an eye out for, but one of the most underrated parts is trying to see the stuff that you don't have to consider very often on game day. Whenever you can watch, especially the coordinators, really the position coaches too, the position coaches, particularly Joe Colin, the defensive line, Andy Heck and the offensive line, some of the stuff whenever they're working on the trenches, you're going to see cool elements of the process where you are seeing these guys, again, think about specifically Spagnuolo and Bieniemy. We talk about those two as strategists. Andy Reid too. Reid and Bieniemy and Spags, more than anything else, we talk about those guys as strategists. How do you adjust to the game plan that's coming in? Where is your game plan at right now? How has your game and your scheme evolved from last year? But, and this is something I would like to ask them about specifically to figure out what they think their answer would actually be for like a percentage of this. But a tremendous portion of their job is to be a teacher. Which, again, position coaches, I think we give them more credit for that probably. But the more you kind of wash out the details, and this is one thing I think is great about having things like the media and having access to things like practices and certainly fans also being able to go watch training camp, I think is awesome. Because you get to see parts of it you would not otherwise realize. If you go and you watch the team drills and stuff, that's fun. You're seeing something behind the scenes. You're getting a peek behind the curtain. That is a very cool part of it all. But whenever they're doing individual drills, see if you can find this team's defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator off to the side working with a young player on some specific technique that they think is going to show up in some way, shape, or form over the course of their rookie year. to try to get them up to speed, especially this defense right now. Now, offensively, you got a lot of new guys, but defensively, you got a lot of rookies who are going to have to start, like play soon. Karlaftis and McDuffie, first-round instant starters. Have to be. They just have to be. Joshua Williams rotating in very frequently with the ones as Rashad Fenton works back from injury. Brian Cook rotating in consistently. Those guys are all getting a real crash course right now, and I think that seeing the coaches be in teaching mode when we only ever see them in play-calling mode on the sidelines with the play sheet in front of their mouth, it's a cool other element you can latch on to at camp. The reason that whole sidetrack came to mind is because also Josh Gordon talking about Corey Coleman on a regular basis trying to ask him about some route that he ran a week ago. We just don't have to consider that very often. You just have guys at the bottom of the roster who don't make it, and you go, all right, cool, better luck next year. Then Tyreek Hill, you know, runs a post that he takes for 40 yards and a touchdown. I'm like, ah, yes, look at this. He's just faster than everybody else. But there are so many people working so hard on so many details that are also all in competition with each other. Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman are not both going to make this team. They might have neither of them make it, but they're not both going to end up with a roster spot. It seems very unlikely. Justin Watson seems like kind of the veteran who can definitely be on special teams on a regular basis. Probably get somebody else, could be Josh Gordon, but Gordon's not going to be out there on special teams, so his spot is even more difficult to narrow down. Coleman probably could play some special teams. Again, Watson definitely does. Coleman was, and then sounded like had a bad day back on Friday. But all of that, I just think, is some of that under-the-surface stuff that you don't think about in your fantasy drafts, or even when you're watching games on Sunday, because oftentimes that is the work done by players who you don't even see their jersey numbers unless special teams are out there. But I always like hearing those stories. I think they add a little more to the people behind all of this. Also, Josh Gordon talking about last year. It's funny, this will be true whenever we play these Thornhill clips in a minute also. Guys are always a lot more likely to be honest about their difficulties after the fact rather than as it's happening, which makes sense. If I sat here today and I said, hey, this show's really not going very well because I, had to prick my finger a second ago and check my blood sugar and then eat a granola bar, which I did do all those things, but everything's fine. Just, you might not be able to tell by the quality of the radio show, but I'm great. But if I said that right now, you'd be like, okay, we're looking out for the rest of, what's going to happen next? Is Josh going to have a low blood sugar moment? Is Josh ready for the challenge of hosting The Zone without Jason being there? And if I was like, I don't know, man, I haven't done this in a while, I'm out of practice, you'd be listening for my mistakes, which again, you can do that anyway. It's very easy. They happen all the time. But if in a week I was like, yeah, man, Jason, when you weren't here, I forgot what it was like to host a radio show for 4 hours. By the time I got to hour four, I was hemming and hawing and huffing and puffing. It's a little easier to be honest about something after the fact once it's like already happened. Okay, we'll hear that from Thornhill in a second. Josh Gordon said that joining midseason was, quote, almost an insurmountable task. Like, I know that we joke around about like, hey, Josh Gordon's close. The Chiefs say he's close. Andy Reid says he's close. Whenever he joined the team, he signed with the practice squad, spent a little time there, worked up, got on the active roster, caught a touchdown and a real designed thing. But today he said, hey, I'm comfortable in the chemistry and the playbook now. The playbook is more or less the same, he said, than it was last year. You know, they made some tweaks, but the basics are all still there. Joining into Andy Reid's offense as a rookie is hard. As a first-year in-the-system vet is hard. It's hard if you have an entire offseason before your time. Josh Gordon was, to continue the theme of this hour, Josh Gordon was hopping on a moving train. He did not have time to stow his luggage or prepare in advance for what he was going to be asked to do. if the Chiefs believe that Josh Gordon, with comfort and knowledge in the system, if they believe that he can be useful in that context, he could still make this team. But it's going to be harder because now he's going up against a bunch of younger guys that have other things. Again, like with Watson or with Coleman or with Fountain. Younger guys that have more positional versatility, particularly on the special team side. He has a tough road to making this roster. And I wonder if he gets cut. Remember, the practice squads are now permanently expanded, which does include spots for veterans. Now, you can still be signed off of the practice squad to another team's 53-man roster. But if the Chiefs do cut Josh Gordon and nobody else tries to bring him into their active roster, which I would assume no one else would try to do if the Chiefs say, hey, we've had him here for a year and a half and we're not that worried about it. If they end up at that spot, I could absolutely see the Chiefs re-adding him once again to their practice squad and saying, hey, if Juju gets hurt, we're calling Josh Gordon up. Even if it's for a game, now you have a veteran receiver with some size who could maybe help you do some of that intermediate stuff. Maybe more so than you would trust Watson or Coleman or Fountain, but those guys can do more for you in the third phase of the game on a week-in, week-out basis. I could see that being the outcome here. And also, I find Josh Gordon very easy to root for. His NFL story, his life story through his career, from the quarterbacks to the addiction to the suspensions. I would love for Josh Gordon to have a career resurgence. He is also a very long time removed from being arguably the most dynamic receiver in football for that 1 year. Really, like a year and a half. He's incredible. It's just been a very long time.
That was almost 10 years ago.
What season was it?
That was 2013. He played 14 games that year, put up 1,600 yards, 1,646. Since then, he has played 5 games, took 2 years off, 5 games, 12.
1,600 yards in 14 games with, I think, Brandon Whedon is absolutely nonsense.
Anyway, he hasn't played much since then.
But right, it's
Which
been
is
a
also
very
part
long
of the
time.
Thing going to, with part of the thing with him going in not only just Andy Reid's offense, but just he hasn't played in 2 years.
Right.
Outside of last year.
It was Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, and Brian Hoyer all started games for the Browns that year. And he caught 1,600 yards on 87 receptions.
With
some quick math, 9 touchdowns.
117.6 yards per game.
He averaged 117 yards per game, which is just one decimal under 19 yards per reception. If you threw the ball to Josh Gordon and he caught it in 2013, if you were Jason Campbell or Brandon Whedon or Brian Hoyer, the average result was an 18.9 yard pickup on average. Unbelievable. Was he was 6th in comeback player of the year voting.
Last year?
No, in his career year.
Oh, okay.
How is he behind Pierre Garçon and Thomas Davis and Darrelle Revis and Phillip Rivers won it? No, Sean Moreno was 2nd. Is he too young maybe to be a comeback player? I don't know. Regardless. Just absolutely tremendous. I would love for him to have some sort of resurgence with the Chiefs. I think you have to temper your expectations there. But hearing from him today was really interesting. And again, just kind of putting back into context, joining midseason being, quote, almost an insurmountable task is the type of thing that I'm keeping in mind when we're talking about in a year when we ask Sky Moore, hey, what was it like to be a rookie in Andy Reid's offense? It's going to be hard. Like, difficult is going to be a part of the answer. But that comes with the advantage of rookie mini camps, OTAs, training camp, preseason. It's one of the reasons that I'm excited to see the offensive rookies on Saturday in the first preseason game because it gives them a chance to jump into the system and make some sort of in-game progress. Well, look, man, if Sky Moore makes three big mistakes on Saturday, that won't bother me one iota. What would bother me is if he makes those again in game two. But that's sort of always the thing now that I think we all kind of keep in our heads. This idea of, yeah, man, you're going to make mistakes. Justin Reed said in a press conference earlier in camp, when I make mistakes, I just want to make them at full speed. I tell these guys, if you're going to make your mistakes, make them at full speed. Then don't do it again. And if that's what the preseason can be for Sky Moore and Isaiah Pacheco and a whole bunch of these rookies especially, that's a great thing. Do not bet on these games. Don't make yourself care about the results. If you want to bet on some, you know, player over-unders in a preseason game, I might tell you how to live your life. It's just a challenge. That would be a challenging way to go about your preseason. But also, I guess, it's been a long time since we've had football to wager on. So, if, you know, Isaiah Pacheco over-under, total yards or whatever. I guess I would be kind of... I've immediately talked myself into it. Anyway, you can watch the show and interact with the show in a variety of places, a variety of ways. The Sports Radio 810 WHB Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, and Twitter has live video. You can watch us, see us, see what we look like. Beards occasionally turns the camera on himself. When he does, it looks like this.
Ta-da!
You have to be watching to get the video joke. So you can interact with the show there as well. It's a good way to make sure your comments and thoughts get seen by us and others. And Beards has a couple Twitch comments on Josh Gordon. Hit me, Beards.
I did. One is from Ronaldo McDonaldo. He says, I've got the Sammy Watkins mentality with Gordon. If he shows out and produces, great. If not, no skin off my back if we're winning. And then the other one, I think this is VF is epic. If we could just put glue on his gloves, I'd feel like he would do a lot better. I feel like the routes are there, just missing a lot of the catches. That does back up. I think I saw on Pro Football Focus or Pro Football Reference, I think his catch rate for the Chiefs last year was like 35%.
Yes, and that
it's not
catch
ideal.
Rate would come in with to defense as well. So I don't know what the drop average. Percentage is and everything. Yeah, he wants to, look, the Royals could use 35% success rates. That'd be fantastic.
All right, 3-point percentage.
Yeah, even that would be good.
Not catch though.
No, and I think catch percentage is going to be the percentage of times that a target to him was caught. I would actually say, no, I don't. I'm rooting for Josh Gordon. I would like for him to give the Chiefs no excuse to cut him. I would love for him to be on this team.
5 for 14 last year.
That was his stat line last year.
Yes,
and a touchdown. I want him to make this team. I think that would be a very fun story if he forces his way onto this roster, you know, like earns his way there, whatever. It seems like there is a drop sort of issue happening at camp right now, and I just don't know that he can get separation at this point. He is not getting the separation from defenders that he was 10 years ago, which makes sense. Nobody over the age of like 12 gets more athletic when 10 years go by. 12 to 22, I would hope that, yeah, maybe you got some muscles. But at a certain point, you don't get faster when you turn 30, I've been told. I don't anticipate getting faster at any point in my life from here on out. I'll be happy if I just don't get significantly slower. I think even that is already a losing battle. But I hope he makes this roster. I would love to see that payoff. I'm just not willing to bet on it. We did get through an entire other hour of this show without getting to the clips that I teased trying to get to from the weekend, but I do think Juan Thornhill and Eric Bieniemy had some interesting things to say this weekend. We'll shift gears a little bit out of Chiefs into Royals with Craig Brown. He'll join us next at the Into the Fountains newsletter. That's on Substack, intothefountains.substack.com. If you want to get a little pre-reading in before the segment arrives, a lot of good things to talk about from yesterday's Royals game, and then maybe we take kind of a look into the future of what the rest of this season and then perhaps even next offseason could entail. Dangerously, I say this timidly, but it's true. I think we might be entering a fun time for the Royals. Lots of wins? I don't know. Fun? Maybe so. We'll talk about that with Craig Brown whenever we come back here in the Zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.